Hi, my guest is Boeing chief pilot, or Boeing 787 chief pilot, Mike Carriker. He just got here. And this is not the first airplane you brought to Oshkosh, though.
No, this is the fourth time I've got to bring a show airplane to Oshkosh. The first time was the Boeing 247. It was delivered to United Airlines on July 27th of 1933. That flight took a little longer to get here. It was 4 days because 120 miles an hour and about 4,000 feet. But what a wonderful experience to come here. And the next two times I brought the Boeing 307 out here. And you know, to park an airplane out here in the Aeroshell Square, there's ConocoPhillips Square today, it's just a thrill.
Don't worry, we've been saying that all week. We're all getting used to it. ConocoPhillips Plaza, you're here at Oshkosh, and we're happy that you're here. Tell us a little bit about the in-flight test maneuvers that must be done to certify an aircraft.
So we start with the first flight where we just expand the envelope. The first 5 minutes after you take off an airplane like this, you answer more questions than in the previous 5 years. You have real data and real analysis in real time. The first flight, we wanted to try things very much the first flight, but it was kind of stopped by the Seattle weather. It was a very successful flight. We didn't get all the test points we wanted because we just finally ran out of decent weather to operate in the airplane. And then we don't really think about it, but we kind of like really go to work. And you expand the flight envelope, boost and speed, just like any experimental airplane out there. You check it out in the middle of the flight envelope. You check it out fast. You check it out slow. Within thing, you check it out aft center gravity, forward center gravity. Then the first big program we do after we do that is we start into a flutter testing. An airplane like this maximum indicator speed is 360 knots, but flutter is about 412. And the maximum Mach number for an airline is Mach 0.9, but we go to 9.7 on the thing. This airplane was very easy to do flutter on because it would run 412 knots in level flight at 20,000 feet. That's just awesome. I did my original flutter training in a 737-200, and you had to come down at 20 degrees nose down to get that point in that airplane. And this airplane will just run it straight and level, and you're not even at full thrust.
So it really slides to the sky then?
It's spectacular. It would almost run MMO at 33,000 feet.
Now, this airplane is mostly composite, so there aren't as many rivets out there.
Not as many rivets. It's a lightweight airplane. Obviously, you make it out of composite to keep the weight down. The fuselages are made on big lathes, so they're wound. The composite material, that's another benefit of a composite material airplane, is composite material is an additive process. You put enough composite in to get what you want, whereas in a metal airplane, you usually have a big piece of metal, then you take away what you don't want. And so there's a lot better ratio of what you buy and what you go fly than an aluminum airplane where you buy a whole lot and then you mill half of it away and throw it away or recycle it, I guess.
And, making a composite airliner is some of a challenge because we're on a grand scale here. We're not talking about a home-built aircraft, which, of course, is a challenge anyway, but we're on a grand scale. And what kind of things popped up in trying to figure out how to do composites in such a large scale?
So the composites, from my standpoint, was the a composite structure has some different build properties than metal does. In a composite airplane, it's not always true. The structure engineers will tell you I'm not correct. So in a composite airplane, you put enough composites in to make the strength, and you've made the fatigue life. In a metal airplane, you put enough metal in to make the fatigue life. And then the strength. So those properties flip-flop between the two. So the flight control law, my challenge at the company was to make a flight control law that used the best of the physical build properties of composite materials and then make it fly as close as possible to a Boeing 777 so that we have a common pilot's license between a 777 and a 787. And we did that. We saved about 5,000 pounds of composite material due to the flight control laws that match an aluminum wing and fuselage 777.
So just in programming?
Programming, lots of simulation, and a whole bunch of really smart guys. The Boeing company's computational fluid dynamics programs I have no doubt are the finest in the world.
When you're up and doing the in-flight testing, and a lot of any pilots out here, you've looked at the performance numbers when you're trying to figure out if you're going to make your cruise speeds. How is that? Do you have to fly all those numbers in the flight test program, or are you just going to the edge and then interpolating back?
No, we actually, at the Boeing Company, call it NAMS, nautical air miles per pound of gas. The U.S. Navy calls it W over delta. You go out and fly a very specific Mach number at a very specific altitude, and you take the at that specific altitude, actually it's a weight to air density ratio, you fly at that point and you take all that data, and it takes us about 100 flight hours to accumulate all the fuel performance data. And that's different than takeoff data, which is like we do at Edwards, or landing performance, which we do some at Edwards, but we do most of it in Roswell, New Mexico.
For a few years, beginning in 2001, you were chief pilot of the Sonic Cruiser Test Program. What is that?
Well, that's a memory. In 2000, the company was trying to look for a new airplane. And what should a new airplane be? Should it go fast? And at that point in time, it was like, okay, what if we cut significantly down the time of travel? And so we first tried to make, you know, essentially an SST, except with today's technology. And it's very hard to make a big airplane like this go supersonic. The drag rise that the Mach is just goes out the window. So we said, okay, let's slow it down to like Mach 0.96. And so we designed it. We worked on it. And our leadership team at that time said, okay, let's take all the technology that makes this Sonic Cruiser work, and let's go put it in a tube and wing airplane. And so we tell our customers about the Sonic Cruiser, you know, Mach 0.97, wonderful airplane. And they said, okay, great, but tell me about this airplane over here. So about the best we could do with a Sonic Cruiser was make it equivalent to 767 costs. But if we took all the technology that made that Sonic Cruiser work and we put it into an airplane that's this airplane, we got 20% better than a 767. And all the airlines are going, let's talk about this one that's 20% better, not the one that's just as good as today. Because in reality, the only time you actually wanted to go faster was flying westbound. Flying north-south, it didn't make any difference. And flying from Chicago to London, if you got there 2 hours earlier, you just get there in the 5 o'clock in the morning instead of 7. What are you going to do? And it's your overnight. You know, your overnight's on the airplane. So the speed didn't pay out.
Your launch customer is the Japanese airline ANA, and recently their first aircraft was flew to Japan to perform operational testing. What is the process of delivering an airplane? It's not just as simple as just dropping it off.
No, not even close. So we just got completed a service-ready operational validation test with All Nippon Airways. We took the number two airplane to Tokyo, Haneda Airport, and I sat in the right seat. An ANA pilot, or a couple of them, swapped in the left seat. We flew it from like Tokyo to Osaka and then back, and they got to service the airplane. They put gas in it. They put it up the tug. They put the power in it. When they got back that night, they did maintenance. They pulled parts off that were perfectly good and put the parts back on that were perfectly good as a practice, their mechanics to have all these practice. So they know how they've learned how to operate the airplane. Obviously, we have to certify the airplane. And then we have to demonstrate to the FAA what we call it a first of model. So we certified independent parts of the airplane. That works. And then when the airline gets it, they select some of these parts, but they don't select other parts. So we have to show the FAA, on behalf of the JCAB, the Japanese FAA, that this airplane and its total part selection works just fine. That's a first of a model. So that's about another 30 hours of flight test in the airplane. And then our customer comes and they get it. They have a choice of it. They can either take the airplane, go home, or they can fly it there locally. We give them the gas. They'll choose to fly a customer acceptance flight. It's like going to buy a new car. You get to go drive it around and then check it out. And then believe me, there's three more great events that were going to occur. Take the airplane to Oshkosh. We did that. Get the airplane certified. The fourth fence. And then ANA takes that airplane home. And then the big day is when ANA loads passengers on that jet at Haneda and they take off. And that we got it. So the two things I have, this will be my fourth one. I get a picture of the takeoff, first takeoff of the airplane. And then below it, I get a copy of the certification of the jet. That means we flew it and we finished it.
Quick, I ask you about something that's not related to the 787. Have you thought about building that HATS yet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when I quit working 70 hours a week. So he knows that my favorite airplane out here is the HATS biplanes. When I've had more time at Oshkosh and you can wander the grounds, I always seem to have end up with a big glass of lemonade, and I'll find my way over to where the HATS are parked. Last time I was here, there was one that was green with gold and maroon trim on it, and I just sat and looked at that airplane for hours.
And maybe put on floats?
It'd be tough if you hit the dock with that low wing. But yeah, I hope so. I tried a Kit Fox 5 for years, and then I started on this program all the time, and it was just languished. And I sold to a guy. He paid me a very nice compliment. He called up and said, I didn't have to redo any of your work. And I'm like, yes.
But you did bring your first experimental to Oshkosh. And thank you. Tours till 5 o'clock today for those of you on the grounds. And enjoy the 787. Congratulations. And Mike Carricker, thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
Mike Carricker, chief pilot of the Boeing 787 program.